want to talk to you now about level three. Level three.
About time we said something about level three.
Level three and six levels of processing released in Certainty Magazine. Volume dash, number dash, unknown, unknown. But the first time these six levels, not six basics, but six levels of processing were released, has an indefiniteness on level three. And I'll tell you why it has an indefiniteness on level three. And you can do just about anything you want to do on level three. Because it's a subjective process. The processes of Dianetics were all level three processes. Got that? So the entirety of Dianetics could fit in there. Dianetics, mind, science, mental health, evolution of the thesis, science of survival, history of man, or its American title, what thought it should be, what not thought it. Any of those things could fit there in level three. So it looks like an awfully vast subject. It looks like the subject of man himself, his reactive bank, and everything else is all there in level three. And we wonder what in the devil we've been doing running around Victoria Station, Spotty Spots, and doing all this sort of thing. Because if we were to review the number of words that have been written on level three, we would find out to date that it is somewhere in the vicinity of about 2 million. And the number of spoken lecture words on this subject is probably around the level of about 3-4 million. You know? Seems to be an awful lot to know in level three, and the rest of the levels are just nothing, and level three is the end all of existence, and that's that, and that naturally is where we ought to stick. And that's where Dianeticists very often stuck and didn't come along into Scientology. Because level three is so vast, it is a universe of such wide proportions. It has so much time track and so many universes mixed up in it. It has so much variegation and variation and interest that individuals could very well get into it and never get out of it at all and just wander around from engram to time track. Did you ever hear a musical piece called Ionization? I'll have to get the Hawsey here to have that piece so that you can listen to it sometime. It's an ion knocking around. It's just, knocking around inside the engram bank. Ping, pong. Thud, bonk, ding, bonk, thud. And it's most beautifully characterized in this musical piece called Ionization. It had been written, by the way, by a physicist, I think, who had gone sane. I forgot. Well, now, if there's all of this stuff in level three, if there's the reactive bank and the body and subjective universes in level three. Wow. What a vast amount of material. What tremendous numbers of processes. What awfully complicated techniques you will undoubtedly have to utilize to process level three. I feel for you. I feel for you extremely. Because you probably and undoubtedly will just never get through the material of level three, and you'll never get your free clear above level three. And all that. Unless I tell you something, we haven't gotten through level three worth a nickel until now. And now we can go through level three hardly like a bullet through space, since there'd still be a bullet and still be space. We can go through level three like... Now, the best of our processes today are still contained in level three. But to get somebody to run one, to get somebody to handle level three, to get somebody to come up tone scale to the point where he can get into two-way communication, has been a very, very arduous task. And let me assure you, straightforwardly, the two-way communication, good two-way communication, is absolutely necessary between auditor and pre-clear before you should have anything to do with level three. And you should know it very well. Your pre-clear ought to be able to communicate with you on any part of it that he runs into and never find the auditor sitting 3 feet back of Nelson's monument. It is a land of many dangers. Level three, and the subjective reality of the individual. It'd be very difficult to get through it all. It has been. As a matter of fact, it is such a vast land that psychoanalysis found out only one dynamic, only one process to have anything to do with it. And they never made a dent in it. And all the electric shock and the scalpels in the world will never make a dent in level three, and the material contained therein. But you, as Scientologists, can make a dent in level three. Oh, but definitely. Because the totality of level three is there and representing only one thing. A scarcity of communication. And if there is any level three at all, it means communication has been just as short and scarce as level three exists. Look that over. The only aberration is the scarcity of communication. The only reason a person would have pictures and subjective spaces. The only reason an individual would have all kinds of indefinable masses, unknown chunks, stuff, things. The only reason he'd ever get off the fairway and into the rough of the engram bank. The only reason an engram bank would have been created, the only reason it got there in the first place, is totally represented by one sentence. Even worse than that, one phrase of one sentence. Scarcity of communication. When communication gets scarce, when agreement gets scarce, the individual starts building himself a universe that at least he can agree upon. There's nobody else around to mock one up with him. So he'll build one. And what a messed up, botched up job he does of it. There are three universes. There is your universe, the physical universe, and the other fellow's universe. And the reason you've got a universe and he's got a universe that are different and separate from the physical universe is because you haven't talked enough. That's all. That's all there are to it. A friend of mine used to say, totally grammatical except for that one slip. That's all there are to it. When I've told you everything you need to know. Couldn't possibly be anything else to know. Yes, there is. There's a don't know to know. And we occupy now that eagle-eye position far above the scorched plain below where we can at once assimilate a know and a don't know. A very peculiar place to find ourselves, to know about not knowing. Of course, we're fortunately not in as peculiar a place, or more peculiar place, to not know about not knowing. That would be a very, very interesting place to be, but I am afraid that we wouldn't fare very well there, since there's no communication involved at all. All right, now how does an individual get this much not knowing in his bank? Well, it doesn't matter at all how he gets this much not knowing in his bank. His bank is full of it. And we made a boo-boo, a mistake, an error, an omission of magnitude, of grandeur, of stupendous stupidity in Dianetics. We ran out the engram, but we didn't run the not knowing that went with it. Wherever we had it, we big failure. It was just because we hadn't done that, because the not knowing is the prior postulate And if it's the prior postulate, then the knowingness will stick. Because the knowingness is a specialized effort to get a universe going. And a person always said he didn't know before he knew. And that's always true. And for every engram sitting there, there was a not known postulated before it got there. Follow me? And so these gooey-gooey masses, these engrams, these facsimiles, these black objects, in all this and that and the other, that we can tabulate the overt-act phenomena, the dead-dead-x, the whole track, the space opera, this, that, the other thing, is each one preceded by I don't know. And is preceded by I don't know probably, and I only say probably because it probably is probably, is only preceded by an I don't know because the individual is now going to make another universe. There's nobody there to talk to, so he's going to make something and he's going to get some living beings in it one way or the other. Maybe he can talk to them. What a sorry activity. But each one of these pictures, each one of these spaces, each one of these masses in the bank is preceded by an I don't know. Every picture is there as a substitute communication. An individual is going out of communication with his past. His past is going by from the present, you see. The present is becoming the past. Tickety-tick, now is then. Tickety-tick, now is then. Tickety-tick, now is then. You're in communication with now, 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 which means you're out of communication with then. And in a pathetic effort to communicate with a dear, forgotten, beloved, nostalgic past, we mock up pictures. In order to do that, we have to say we don't know. When we tell people to unlook, they become antagonistic because we're breaking their communication lines as they exist with the past. That they only communicate with the past when there's a scarcity communication in the present, when they themselves feel that there is not enough communication. They can't communicate. The people won't communicate to them, and therefore there can't be enough communication. They start communicating with these pictures, which are already lack of communication pictures. Any engram, then, is a substitute for communication. It's not itself communication. Any engram there is sitting there because it has, it's its first postulate, don't know. Its second postulate, it's a phony no. It's not communication. So we get an accumulation of all these things. First auditing command would handle this sort of thing. Tell me something you wouldn't mind communicating with. And we don't care whether he spots the environment or spots the past or anything else. We simply let him spot. Communicate. Something you wouldn't mind communicating with. And he at least sorts out the fact that there are some things around to communicate with. And all of a sudden, he's liable to look up and say, you. He's all of a sudden liable to look up and say, there are people out the street. Right there. Communicate with those people. All right. Now, an end of Satan has always been the effect of his own cause. Therefore, it's perfectly safe to run this as a one-way flow. Everything else in the bank is a reverse flow, so certainly this one is a one-way flow. He's waiting for things to communicate with him. Things have communicated with him, and so forth. And this is what he's concentrated on mainly, so things he could communicate for him doesn't particularly unsettle him. It just balances out this flow more normally and markedly. So you could run this all by yourself. What would you mind communicating with? It's not brutal. Person has to be in pretty bad shape to have any trouble with it. And from this, we could get a number of complexities. We could say, wouldn't you mind communicating with you? We could run the reverse flow. Another complexity. We could say, what wouldn't you mind, or we could say, what wouldn't you mind your body communicating with? Or what could your body communicate with? Or what should or would, but mainly, what wouldn't you mind your body communicating with? Now, we could run it all in release. Say, what wouldn't you mind your body communicating with? What wouldn't you mind you communicating with? What wouldn't you mind somebody else's body communicating with? And we could go out into a bracket, don't you say? We could make a complexity there. Cover all sides of communication. See this? Well, this doesn't get around the fact, one, that these are good processes, and two, that the basic process is, what wouldn't you mind communicating with? That's a basic process. So it's That's a basic process of level three. The basic process. Now we look over communication. We find out communication is preceded by an I don't know. So we get an interesting and terrific phenomena. And we can today, as auditors, handle any chronic somatic that we want to walk into, providing the case is in shape to run level three. Brrr. Do you hear those brakes squeal? Do you hear that? When you get tempted to run level three on somebody who can't run level three, when you haven't established the rudiments of session, when you haven't gone through level one, and they have not achieved two-way communication at level two, don't you run level three. Don't run level three. Unless it seemed to you to be somewhat of an emergency. Unless you ran it very permissively and very gently. And the way you'd run that course is, what wouldn't you mind communicating with? Got it? You just wouldn't then just sail out into a chronic somatic or something of the sort, or into a chronic condition, and say, bang, bang, zing, boom, this is auditing. We sit down, Preclear sits down, and we say, all right, now, do you have any engrams? Let's run. You know, you wouldn't do that. We've been studying here for a long time to learn how to get a pre-clearance session, learn two-way communication with the pre-clear, learn how to spot spots, spot spaces. We haven't spotted any spaces. That's spotting spots in space, clear up at level six. But we've gotten the technologies of spotting people and spotting objects and running something like Victoria Station, things we don't know about people, things they don't know about us. And the reason we've done this is because it is so very difficult to get most pre-clears into session without these basic steps. These are end-alls. When you finally have a case which you consider a tough case, and after 10, 15, 20 hours of auditing, you've said, this is an awfully tough case. You've said, kick yourself for me, will you? Because you didn't establish the rudiments of the session, because you didn't handle the present time problem, because you didn't handle a level one, and because you didn't handle two-way communication properly with the pre-clear. And therefore, somewhere in that bin right there that I have just enumerated, you have made a classical, wonderful boo-boo of considerable grandeur. You will say, I just wonder why I just never caught on to the fact that he just was never running the process at all, because he never spotted any of those people, I guess. I don't know, because I didn't check up on him. I wonder what he's thinking about while he was doing it. These levels are simply demonstrating to somebody that there are other communication terminals in existence. Until you've established a tolerance for a terminal on the part of the guy, he's not going to do anything but chew energy in his bank. He's got to know there are other terminals that can communicate with him. And that's what you do when you establish the rudiments and handle the present time problem. In level one, in two-way communication, you've gotten him used to the idea that there's another Thetan in the universe. When you've done that very neatly, why, you can enter level three, but you can't enter level three unless he's got some idea there's another thing in the universe. That's all. Somebody live, and there's a universe around, and it has its base time continuum. Now, the present time problem has a dual purpose, which is on the R corner of the triangle. He has a present time problem, and if you handle it by having him invent problems of comparable magnitude, then he will have something that's terribly important to you. A reality on Scientology, the subject of his communication. And if he doesn't get it off this present time problem, then I'm afraid you'll have to discuss with him his engram bank. But don't you run anything. Because this guy is so low, he would have to get a medical doctor to get him to reach bottom. He's in awfully bad shape. Well, when I say a medical doctor, I mean advisedly that. He's got to be jacked up in the frame of reference in which he exists, which is missed. You know? I mean, the guy's probably sick. He probably got some kind of a disease, or he's got something. It's darnest thing. But today, the case that you can't handle or get some reality with one way or the other is really low. Either chronically ill, something you must never overlook in cases. You know, if a fella has a rheumatic fever, you know that it can disappear by giving him aspirin. And you know that when an individual has a number of odds and ends of bacteriological ills, that he can get rid of them. And he can have enough pressure taken off of him in some area or another so that he goes out of pain, at least. And he gets well. His diet's probably all wrong. In other words, his frame of reference of standard agreements of how he should be healed and everything else are being violated if you try to heal him by talking to him, see? Now, you can do it if you're real clever and you're real smart and you're real slippy. You can just ignore these other things. But it's not a very good thing to do. The fellows that I can't process and make a good gain on are sick. And they're sick as a medical man would say they were sick. They're sick. See? They're running a low-order fever. They need rest or, you know, you get the idea? I mean, they're really not, we're not saying sick in the head. We mean he's sick in the pulse and the epidermis or someplace. He's doing badly. You process somebody who is acutely ill, you will learn immediately that somebody could be chronically ill. Would then not respond to processing. Because you process the acutely ill, you discover that they don't make any gain worth a nickel. They don't can't get their attention on you or them, and they kind of seem to plow in, and they quit, and they do interesting things. Now, I'm not saying that we cannot process Satan in this particular regard, or maybe it couldn't even affect an exteriorization. Sometimes emergency calls on you to do the most astonishing things, and you do them. But don't, they're not the average and they're not the expected thing. And the case you can't get into some kind of session a day, knowing what you know, or by discussing Dianetics with him, or doing this or that, so on, he's a pretty, pretty low-order character. He's a pretty sick man. He's pretty sick. Certainly his reason is fixated in some peculiar direction. Now, we are not now talking about the insane. We could say something about the insane. I will say to you as auditors, what business have you got processing the insane? You do not have the facilities. The insane go off at wild angles. They need places where they don't hurt themselves. You have to take it easy with them, with great delicacy. And therefore, processing without facilities puts a strain and a confusion on the environment, which, again, defeats the purpose of your auditing. And it's just for this reason. You need facilities to handle the insane. And at this stage of Scientology, you might have the processes, which you haven't any business processing the insane. Person comes in, says, I have a long institutional history. There's a very good chance that without even upsetting your regimen or something of the sort, that you could do a great deal for them and put them in good shape and so forth. Good chance of this. You still have no business doing it. Do you get the idea? Because you should do things effectively and efficiently. You shouldn't do them sloppily. And trying to process an insane person in the average auditing or consulting room and so forth is nonsense. It's not something you should lightly undertake, that's all. This person might be in a state of exhaustion all the time, and yet you can't even find out what state he's in. And unless you have a place to put him where it'll be safe and secure, unless you have the proper facilities or taking care of him just as a person who is acutely ill from some fever. Probably have some place where they can be quiet and where they can rest and be cared for. Insanity. So should insanity be cared for in that fashion. And you just don't have the facilities, and so you've got no business processing the insane when somebody walks in with a long history of institutionalization and this and that. You do not know and cannot guarantee what has happened to this person. You do not know whether you're looking at 185 metrazole shocks, or you don't know what you're looking at. Really? Processed one washing the other day just as an experiment. No processing for fee or anything like that. This person was really not insane, no. Somebody or other had done something for other for him. And not in bad shape. But we ran out 15 electric shocks, one right after the other. Well, he knew he'd had 15 electric shocks. But the last electric shock, the 15th, didn't surrender. I said, what's going on here? So we worked on it very gently and very easily and so forth. And all of a sudden, ping, it opened up. And he had had a transorbital leucotomy with the ice pick and all while he was getting that 15th shock. And he never knew it. And neither did anybody else. Yet a close look at him showed what tiny scar there is as a result of this very fiendishly stupid operation. See? Boy, this guy was being audited by a very good auditor. Or he might have blown his stack. See? We might have had ourselves a raving lunatic, screaming, out of complete control, nobody to care for him, nobody to look after him, no place to put him, so on. This should fascinate you that you are extremely adventurous processing anybody who has a history of insanity. Very adventurous of you. Not because you can do nothing. You can do something. But because you, at this time, do not have the facilities. When I say facilities, I mean a nice, big, comfortably run, well-financed hospital with the proper beds and the proper attendance and the proper consulting rooms and the hot and cold running nurses and all the rest of it. Get the idea? And it really is no good for you to go into somebody else's sanitarium and process somebody for this excellent reason. Did you ever notice the bravery and courage of a dog when he got in his own front yard? Well, you wouldn't want somebody coming into your sanitarium and processing somebody on homeopathy or something. See? It works the same way, too. And there's resentment there, and it's upsetting. And very often people are quite nice about all this and so forth, but before you get through, if you don't have the facilities, both you and your entire environment and everything you are doing and every other preclear you have will be interpolated, because if there's any denominator to insanity, it's interpolation. And the people who are connected with insane people are big interpolators, too. And they just eat up more time and more telephone calls and more hours and hours, and it's all an emergency, and it's always an emergency. And you've just got no business whatsoever touching the insane as a Scientologist. You should be too busy making the able more able. You could cure every insane person in the entire world, and you would not have made the world very much better. Remember that. Here and there, if there's an insane person who's quite valuable and he ought to be salvaged or something like that, that's still not a good enough argument. So just remember, if you do it, Ron said, no, it's not a good thing to do. Remember that. And then you won't say, damn it, why wasn't I warned? Why didn't I warn my students? This has happened in Dynamics. Fellas screaming and roaring, so on. He was brought around in a calm moment by his family and dumped. There was no place to send him and nothing the Dionysus could do with him. And this fellow's entire practice, which was a good one, went completely to pieces. Every connection he had went to pieces. Everything he was doing went to pieces. 3 months from then, he got this guy straightened out, and the fellow since that time has been able to sell vacuum cleaners pretty well. He never received a dime for his work. It must have cost him thousands and thousands of dollars before he got through. You get it? There were an awful lot of people that he was processing who were worth a great deal in that community. And he let all those go by the boards. It's not just a financial risk. It's not that you can't do anything. It's that one of these days we will have a sufficient cooperation, I'm sure, with the people who have control over this sphere of activity, or they will have control over it under our supervision, or we will have control over it under their supervision, or neither one of us will have control of it at all. And it will have gone off and is now being controlled by the druids who have just sprung up in the atomic age. The post-bombing atomic age. We don't care how it is, but the way it's got to be is that you have the right to do it, the facilities to do it, and there it is. And up to that, the devil with it. See? All right. We've got a rock bottom here that we are looking at, and we can do a great deal all the way to the bottom, you understand, as Scientologists, but always within the reality of what we are doing. Please pay attention to that. Our depth of reach is not now measured by what we can do for people. Technically, with Scientology as cases. But is limited by the reality of the society itself. We got this. There's a limiting reality, and that reality says that when a man is ill, he should receive medical treatment. And if a person cannot make any gain under the first lowest levels and activities of Scientology, and the first things you should suspect is some low-order continued illness that keeps him continually concentrated on something and out of communication with you and everything else. Because he's out of communication, you see? And you should recognize then that there's a proper thing to do about that. And then there's the person who is ravingly insane. The proper thing to do about that person is to recognize that they're very badly out of communication, and when they start to go into communication, they're going to go into it with some excitement, let's say the least. And if you haven't got places to handle it, then you've got no business putting them in further communication, that's all. All right, so that's the low level of case we're looking at. Any other case, some guy that sits in, he's moderately well, he's not too bad off. He merely has a few chronic somatics and things like this, and a black field, and he's kind of plowed in various directions. So, well, you don't worry about this fellow. You connect up with his reality, or you reach out and grab this guy. You connect up with his reality on his case, and you push it right up through, and you expect to get quite a bit done, and he'll feel quite a bit better, and you start him on level 3 when he knows there's a terminal there to talk to him, when he knows that very well, and when a lot of his problems are already gone by these lower-level processes. Now, do we make clear who we run level 3 on? All right. I didn't mean to go off into a long and arduous dissertation on your rights and wrongs of the insane, but I have yet to see a Dianeticist or Scientologist practice with success to himself and the rest of his practice on the acutely ill or the insane. Understand, I've yet to see this occur. A real smooth gain all the way up the line without a ripple. Sometimes people come in who have been institutionalized who were not insane and who are not insane. You got that? So you just flip the coin and takes your chance on these people. Somebody made a mistake or somebody wanted somebody out of the road. I mean, this happens. Let's be real. But you're still, on that one, still taking a chance, you understand? All right. Mind you, we've had a lot of success in this one. Well, the acutely ill, again, is not within this reach and realm. And why am I telling you about these things when I'm telling you about level three? It's because you, as an auditor, will be able to sit there and you look at it. You know their engrams so well. You know exactly the mechanisms. You know just why they're this way. You know how they fit into the frame of society they're fitting in and what's making them sick. And you say, well, I have a six. Why shouldn't I do something about this, you know? Yeah, why shouldn't I? All I got to do is adjust the gimmick of Hoojip, which fits into the other side, and so on, and you'll be all right. Yes, that's true. That's perfectly, absolutely true. You know all about it. You can do something about it. This is undoubtedly the case. But he doesn't know that much. You're looking at a chronic, horribly deep, dark state of not knowingness. You've got to increase his knowingness in some direction or another, or he isn't going to go in any direction at all. It's a great temptation to run level three on these people. And many an auditor has reached in, not to find that his own hand's stuck, that isn't what happens to auditors, but the guy's hands are now stuck together. Here's a clock that is already out of gear. Here is a machine that already isn't running and functioning well. Here is something that is already out of communication. And we take a subjective process, and all we are doing is crediting the fact that he is out of communication, because every single item that he has in his subjective bank is there because he's out of communication, so it has its common denominator, out of communication. There are two factors, which are almost the same factor, which are in common to the ridges. The engrams, the internal spaces, in all other items contained in the reactive mind, there are two. From a standpoint of prevention of a young auditor getting enthusiastic, the most important one from that standpoint is that every item in it has this as its fundamental. The common denominator in each one of the items in the subjective mind is out of communication, and any part of it that you then re-stimulate puts him further out of communication. The most important one, technically, is the common denominator of all that is I don't know. That's the most important thing, technically. You've got to get the I don't know out in order to blow it. So when you re-stimulate the reactive bank, the fellow may tell you, I know more, but he'll tell you in a dazed sort of way. He knows more about what? He knows more about being out of communication. All right. You see where we are going here? I'm giving you these provisos. All I'm telling you is there's a lot of mistakes we've made in Dianetics and Scientology in running level three. Now that we've got the way to run level three, for God's sakes, let's not make these mistakes all over again, please. You follow me? There's no reason to make them all over again. We know now. Now, if you want to find out if they are mistakes, go ahead and make them. But know that you are making them. Don't do them accidentally or skid into them, you know. Nothing wrong with you just going along overtly and making the mistakes that are made in level three if you're doing it to see something or to find out something or just to do them. You don't have to stand braced against it. It's the most horrible thing. But don't go ahead and do it because you don't know better. I would say the only wrongness there is doing it because you don't know better. All the rest could be assigned to a scientific experiment. Now, are difficulties in level three almost exactly parallel the difficulties that we run into if we try to run level three prematurely in a case? The difficulties we run into is that the individual gets into a further not knowingness and goes out of communication. So therefore, a lot of communication, two-way, is necessary. And a lot of savvy as to what can lie unrestimulated in a reactive bank should exist, too. Do you know that probably five or six lifetimes ago, the guy was stark staring mad? It's probably institutionalized, probably down here in Bedlam. He's got the complete set of facsimiles about the whole thing. He said, I forget. He said, I've never lived before. With all the facsimiles in his hip pocket. Just in case. You got it? There are as many chronic illnesses in the reactive bank and as many acute illnesses in the reactive bank as the individual has ever been ill in 76 trillion years. And that's quite a few illnesses. So you, my pet, could, if you were a real artist at it, bring a case from level 3 down to the level between the pre-clear and the present time problem. See? We just drop him. The funny part of it is that these somatics don't turn on very chronically or horribly for any great duration. They usually wear off. The fellow simply feels crazy for 2 or 3 days and wears off. You know? Or like one fellow, he said, you know, I read what Ron said about re-stimulation, and so wife and I kind of tried it out, and we started into a time when she was sick and so forth, and we ran this, and she could feel all this and so forth. It's very interesting. And the next day she felt very bad. And so we took her down to the doctor, and the doctor diagnosed her, and he said, this is the most peculiar thing I have seen in some time. Your wife has the measles. Without any virus being present. Peculiar. It wore away in 2 or 3 days. And she was all right. You understand? Changed her position on the time track and came into present time. But for 2 or 3 days, she was sick. You see this? You see this clearly? Well, all right. Then let's not you make the extreme error of kicking a guy from level 3 to which you have arduously raised him by pulling him out of all this muck, back down into all this muck. See, let's not do this nonsensical thing. Don't find a bunch of beautiful insanity in Grouse and say, what do you know about those? Wouldn't that be cute? And because I don't want you to do this, I'm going to tell you exactly how to do this. Isn't that pretty good? Instead of talking about communication or agreement, we simply ask him what he's absolutely certain of in his own reactive bank. What does he really know about his reactive bank, after all? What does he know about measles? And then don't let him answer, and don't go into any two-way communication with him or anything like that. Just say you can sit there silently and sort of go over what you do know. Yeah. You see what would happen? You would throw the I don't knows into re-stimulation, and you would bring in the hot dope right away, and there you'd be. Because you're asking him for periods when he was out of communication anyhow, really out of communication, and asking him for those periods, you are compounding the felony by not letting him talk about it. And people will buy this because they don't know what the score is. Just as they will buy a process like, what wouldn't you mind going out of ARC with? It sounds very reasonable. And although I told this unit very definitely that unlookingness was not therapeutic, told you twice. Remember? There's still a lot of you are saying, well, it's undoubtedly a therapeutic process and I feel better and so forth. You felt better on the two-way communication, not on the process. Most everybody got a little bit antagonistic or upset or unsettled, you see. Just as I could tell you twice this, and you would go on and run it. And expect some therapeutic result from it, and I'm not laughing at you or anything, because I intended just this very same thing to happen. So you can sometimes tell somebody that some activity with his subjective bank is a very unhealthy activity. He doesn't have to believe you. He can go right out and do it. Well, brother, I can tell you that it's sufficiently unhealthy that it could lay him in his grave. You'd probably kill a man with his reactive bank with the greatest of ease. And so could you. So therefore, you ought to know how to do it. You ought to know how to do it. Just have him check over a large number of his past debts without running any of them, any way, shape, or form. And break the auditor's code every time he volunteers a communication about them. He'd be in mighty low condition before you got through. You could do this. You could just sit out and knock him off. You could ask somebody all about a heart attack and then not let him tell you. You could add more I don't knows to it. You could say, well, Mr. Smith, you say that in the early part of your life you had bad, bad heart condition. Is that right? Oh, well, that's all right. You need an answer. You're just going over this. You had very, very bad heart condition. And these spells of any length of duration, well, I'm so sure that they were just standard spells. He didn't get a chance to answer. Yeah, well, that's all right. We have all that data. We know all about this sort of thing. How did they feel to you? Excuse me, there's the telephone. you say that your heart was very bad. Well, now, I don't know exactly how these conditions come into being. Nobody knows. Complete mystery, actually. But I have some medicine here. I don't know whether it'll do you any good or not. Nobody really knows that. Now, did you take any medicine before for this condition? One way or the other? Well, that's all right. We'd have a record of it here in your files. We want you to make out a complete report on these past illnesses. Now, just go out into the other room there, and my secretary will give you the paper. You can fill all that out and so forth. Good day, sir. Goes out in the other room. Nobody gives him a piece of paper. Says, well, that'll be all now. You know what happened to this man? He walked in, saw you. He didn't have a heart attack. He'd probably go home and have one. Yet he's been over it for years. He's cured. You got it? That's how not to give an interview. Well, if you know how not to give one, you don't have to make any mistake on the thing, do you? Well, that's how not to give one. You can take somebody sometime if you want to and see whether or not this works. And simply interview him on this basis, on some illness which you have some idea he had. And, some minor thing, something preferably that doesn't amount to much. Let's check up on him in a couple of days. He'll be sick. You do your job just right. If you don't let him communicate at all, if you jam his words back down his throat every time he starts out of them, and if you tell him to write the whole thing and then don't let him regurgitate on the piece of paper, if you tell him then that you're going to call him up at 9 o'clock that night and you don't call, got the idea? You'd stack these things up. You'd bring on this little malady. You want to make a clinical experiment? Try it. You have the right to. You can cure anything you get him into. And that would be the only right anybody would ever have to do this. That or chronic stupidity, which I don't think gives anybody any right anyhow. Well, so why do we run level 3 where we run it? Maybe I better wake you up on that. Hello. Yeah. You all right now?
Yeah.
Don't let you go this way. Ah, well. This is the thought of this, is the many times this has happened to you, I guess. Now, there is one key command along this that wipes this out. It's what, wouldn't you mind communicating with? That's one command. Sort of a one-command process, and it followed through, it weeds through all the rest of this thing. Remember that any time an individual has a mass on any subject, he didn't have enough communication with it. Or he decided not to communicate with it, the fool. But he decided not to communicate with it when he didn't have enough communication with it. He went out to cure somebody of lumbosis. And you didn't get enough time to audit him, and you walk off from there feeling kind of lumbositic. See? You processed his hernias or something, and you go away and you kind of have a sneaking hunch that maybe you've got him. He didn't get well. In other words, you feel you didn't communicate with it sufficiently. Got the idea? Now, the uses to which this can be put are so tremendous that they just simply embrace and erase the whole reactive bank. That's about all there is to it. But it's a long process. And the not knowing this could still be on the bank very heavily, although communication tends to wipe that flat too. And so, if you understand, you could do the whole job, but it'd do it over a long period of time, and is the first one that you should tackle and the first thing that you should do, you see. There's another one. Remember the old list, SOP 8? What don't you know about it? What doesn't it know about you? For each item on it. Would tackle about every chronic, somatic, or condition in the bank. Selectively. Bring them out and tear them up. But remember that all these things have something in common. They are pictures and spaces. They're masses. But pictures and spaces. And the faces themselves are in the pictures themselves, aren't they? Therefore, the common denominator of the reactive bank is given in Dianetics, the modern science of mental health, is pictures. And we run across about the horribly hottest process that anybody has ever invented. And it, you'd better not run until you let an awful grip on this situation. Because it's so hot that the guy only has to articulate the question and it starts running on him. And he'll sit there sort of a daze. So he'll say goodbye. He won't get a single item to answer you for some time. Now, you got that phenomenon? So it's not really a comm lag at all. It's an action period. See? Zoom, 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 zoom. What don't you know about pictures? What don't they know about you? Dreadful process. Has to be run with tons and tons and tons of chronic somatics, but it licks the bank. Now, there are other things and other ramifications on it. We will examine them and so forth. There are no great liabilities on it, however. If you do your job well and keep it in level 3, good two-way communication. An individual gets too groggy. You end your session by just making sure he's in present time. You got it? And then there are 3 processes now for level 3. And one of them is, what wouldn't you mind communicating with? Which, remember, is a long one, but it's positive gain all the way. Yeah, it's a long process, but it's positive gain all the way. Now, to just get rid of the bank, or get the postulate out of it, or clarify something, or do something, you could run the old SOP 8 total list of items. They're just an enormous list of aberrative items. It's not necessarily a complete list, but it's certainly got lots of things in it. And you would simply ask the individual, each one, until it was flat, what he didn't know about it and what it didn't know about him. You take each item on that list in SOP 8, and that's a long list. You'd run each item flat. and you would knock the bank into an interesting state of collapse. But the pre-cleared'd be in pretty good shape if you did this. Certainly not in bad shape. And certainly not in bad shape if you interspersed it with periods of what wouldn't you mind communicating with? See? Certainly it would be leveled out if you did that, wouldn't it? And this last one is the killer. It, again, is a one-shot process on the reactive bank. And it is one of these murderous, shotgun, violent processes. And very possibly would have to be run one way or the other. In any event, or something like it, before you could really say the case is done. But it's best run exteriorized. Best run exteriorized. But you could still run it interiorized. And that is simply, what don't you know about pictures? And what don't pictures know about you? Tell me something pictures do not know about you. What's the other side? Remember, pictures contain the spaces and everything else. And remember, Dianetics, Modern Science, and Mental Health is the true map of the reactive bank. And you destroy it. And the masses and ridges and so forth just go zing-bang. Now, there is an interesting way to clear somebody. But remember while you're doing it that it's a beefy process and that you had better occasionally run what would you mind communicating with. Or maybe occasionally you'll have to start him in at the bottom all over again. You're now clearing him when he was a Greek. And you didn't mean to get into this at all, but there it is. Is that the idea? Now, as pictures start to turn up, here's a great oddity. He likes them. He thinks he doesn't, but he likes them. So, if you start to handle pictures on a basis of destroy them, you could say hellos and okays to pictures, a very specialized process. Or you could say, what don't you know about that picture, providing you did this, if you please. When it goes away, you have him get it back. And ask him again what he doesn't know about it and what it doesn't know about him. And do that till it goes away, and then you have him get it back. And then ask him what he doesn't know about it and what it doesn't know about him. And it, when it goes away, after you've done this two or three times, you don't ask that and then have him throw it away, you understand? You just ask that, and it goes away. You have to ask it maybe five or six times, both sides, before it disappears the first few times. And it goes away, and he has to get it back. You have him get it back every time. After all, he gets very relaxed about the thing. If a sudden explosion occurs and it disappears utterly, you have him get it back until he can take it or leave it or throw it away and so on. Now, above all of these processes in level three, they are all very workable, you understand. Above all of these processes is another process, which is simply intended to increase the individual's ability to tolerate stupidity. And that is, what wouldn't you mind not knowing? And that is simply a tolerance process. Increases tolerance. But in view of the fact that there is no liability in the physical universe except that liability which is mirrored in your engram bank, in view of the fact that there is no stop or break of communication in the physical universe except that stop or break of communication in your and the other fellow's engram bank, and in view of the fact that in the absence of the engram bank, there is no liability to living and there is no guilt and there is no upset about your past deeds, and in view of the fact that in the absence of the engram bank, you're a good guy. Looks to me like you'll have to tear it up a bit, huh? Now that we can. And there's several ways to tear it up, as I've said. And the last way I've given you also tears it up. Well, wouldn't you mind not knowing? But interspersed and interwoven with all of these processes would have to be the first process I gave you, which is what wouldn't you mind going into communication with? And when all else fails, you seem stuck, and the tricky thing you were doing did not materialize, and you find your preclear lying on rock bottom, you ask him, what wouldn't you mind communicating with? An old-time auction bridge, in case of doubt, lead Trump. In level three, in case of doubt, ask him, what wouldn't you mind communicating with? Thank you.